Why did the 12-man personnel fall out of favor so quickly in New England? We answer that question with the Empress of Tight Endage today and more. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage, and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so smash that subscribe button and download, subscribe to, and follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, folks, today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to, and they help you do it faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. Patriots fans, we are still basking in the glow of the Patriots' 17-14 victory over the Steelers. I know, not a perfect victory. There's always room for improvement, and the Patriots will need to show signs of improvement if they hope to hang with the Baltimore Ravens this weekend at Gillette and the home opener. But there are still some lingering thoughts on the performance that we saw from the Patriots in Pittsburgh on Sunday, including the lack of tight endage. How can you possibly believe it? It really is amazing. But who better to talk to today regarding the subject than the Empress of Tight Endage herself? She is the Countess of Klaz, a columnist extraordinaire from Pat's Propaganda, and also the host of her very own Patriots podcast, A Clear Perspective, which, in my opinion, folks, is the best damn listen in all of Patriots media. Claire, Klazzy Claire Cooper joins me today, as she does each and every Wednesday here on the Locked On Patriots podcast. Thank you for joining me from across the pond today, Countess.
Oh, you're always so very welcome, Mike. How can I not come on for such a lovely introduction? I could just come on for the introduction and leave, to be honest with you, in all fairness. But, you know, we have some fun talking Patriots as well, don't we?
That is. That's always. I always start off quickly. You know, that's always good. It's always best to start off well. Great introduction. Folks, it all goes downhill from here on my end. But Claire will keep you informed. She will do the great job that we all know that she can. And it's always great to talk, football with you, Claire. And we are going to talk your favorite subject today. Folks, it's not gratuitous. It is actually very poignant, very much a part of what we need to discuss, because it was a glaring omission from the game on Sunday. But Claire, before we take our leave from the Patriots-Steelers game, which I know a lot of fans are still excited about, there are still a lot of fans that are concerned, and there are concerns to be had. Steve joined me here yesterday, Balestrieri. We talked a little bit about the Patriots, gave our season, perish the thought. No, there's still a lot of season left, folks. Coffee's still kicking in. But in any case, we definitely, absorbed a lot of his wisdom and counsel on grades for the game. Murph was joining me here on Monday. We talked about some of our concerns, but I wanted to get your take on this because you are the Countess of Klaz. And the Patriots did show a little bit of excess class on Sunday when they defeated the Steelers. What are your lingering thoughts on this game, and what did it tell you about this version of the New England Patriots?
Well, Mike, as probably most of Patriots Nation, I was glad for the win. I was relieved for the win because of the sort of, as you said, the concerns. It seems to be the key word, really, the concerns in regard to that. And just the sort of negativity that is surrounding the team at the moment, although there's a lot of kind of yeah buts in regards to the win, it was a win, and the Patriots have got a 1-1. So, I'm just sort of happy to hold on to that for the moment and just know that they have won. It is just a good thing. Now, you mentioned in regards to, I know we're going to talk tight endage a little bit later on, but you mentioned in regards to the lack of tight endage. Now, there wasn't that much lack of tight endage when it regards to the Steelers, though, was it, Michael? Because they had Hap Bremen.
Absolutely. Who I wrote about on Saturday, and Claire esteemedly,
You
you were very, very kind, Countess, to share that article. Yes, you deserved a shout out. That is definitely 10 demerits for myself, and I will take a lap on the Pittsburgh. Well, I shouldn't say Pittsburgh. We're out of Pittsburgh now, folks. I will take a lap on the Gillette Stadium practice fields up on that hill that Bill Belichick makes, you know, the guys in the doghouse run during the dog days of summer. But no, all kidding aside, they did utilize their tight endage very well. They got a good one in Pat, no question.
They have got a good one. And Adrian Phillips, you know, I know that we've talked about, I think we've talked about off air, he's sort of is hit and missness when it comes to covering tight endage. But and as Pat Freiermuth is a, you know, very good tight end, as we all know now, he didn't do too bad a job. One of the commentators said a lovely thing about Adrian Phillips. I think actually I put it in my game recap for patspropaganda.com. So if you still want to check that out, please do. quick short plug there. but yeah, Adrian Phillips blanketed the tight end, and I was mildly jealous of Adrian Phillips there blanketing the tight end. But we're going to move on from that because that's a slightly embarrassing. But yeah, concerns, of course. Everybody's got concerns, as I said, keyword. The O line, it's really, that's the niggle point, isn't it? The offensive line that we're all concerned about. Dietrich Wise, where's he been all this time? He steps up in these last two games. I know we're talking Steelers game, but the game prior to as well to the Finns. Dietrich Wise has kind of showed up and owned up, hasn't he, after he's been given a few dollars. So he's become really explosive and very interesting to watch out for. So he's definitely on my keep a sharp eye out list for this season now. I mean, I love me some O-line. I love me some tight. We all know I adore my tight endage, but I do love me some O-line. And I love football in general. But yeah, I'm going to have to be keeping my eye on the D-line now as well. The list of dudes I have to keep an eye on is just getting longer and longer. But I digress, folks. I completely digress. I've got to say to you, Mike, because this has been, I've been holding this in until this episode that I get a chance to speak to you. The Gunnar Muft punt. Now, I know you've taken some flack on Twitter and with our aforementioned friends. I'm really sorry. And I mean, I did like, you know, Gunnar when he was here, but I was always really anxious when he was returning kicks, when he was returning kickoffs and punts, that something like that was going to happen. It was always that anxiety. And I know that, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning, but Mike Dussault of Patriots Unfiltered sort of shared in a little bit of this. I know he did last season. It was this element of, oh, is he going to catch it? Oh, what's going to happen? Bless him. He's a great football player. He is. But there was just this element of this line of anxiety. And when it bounced, it was just like, well, thank goodness it happened when he was a Steeler. And then Brandon Schooler schooled him and picked it off. And yeah, I mean, I felt
good
for you
heads up,
as a Gunner fan, but I was waiting to see that in my fandom lifetime. And it just feels like
true.
Now we've really, truly seen it, the Olszewski proper muffed punt. So that was unfortunate for you Olszewski fans. But yeah, there was a lot to take away that was good. I'm really sorry. I've just cut you off. I know you were just about. There is plenty
no,
to
no,
take
no,
away
no.
that was really good. We had, you know, lots of good wide receiver play. There's the concern on the O-line. There's the concern on Mac. But if you put in a pin in those things, you know, the concerns now, and looking at the positive, the defense, we had some great plays by the defense. We had some great plays by the wide receivers, particularly Myers and Aguilar. Aguilar's decided, he's also decided to own up and show up as well, which is great. It's good to see from him. And I know we'll touch on upon that later, but I think that might be why we've sort of seen a bit less tight endage than we have been, is the fact that the wide receivers are really kind of stepping to their own, showing that you know, that they've got. I think it's the kind of, maybe they've heard of, oh, the Patriots haven't got a wide receiver one. And all these guys have gone, who needs a wide receiver one? We're all super duper kind of thing. So I like that. That's quite good. So yeah, concerns, yes. That's not going to go away. The yeah buts aren't going to go away, unfortunately. The whole yeah, but the Steelers didn't have TJ Watt and this and that. You can't get away from those, and they're not incorrect.
Sure.
But there is still, and Miles Bryant and Devontae Parker, again, concerns in regards to those guys. So if you want to, like, sort of not to try and name and shame, but yes, concerns. However, they won. It was a victory. We saw some improvement from the previous game with in particular, the offensive line defense against the run. So we saw this improvement. If we can continue to see steps like this, if Mac can get into his, you know, get into his jam a little bit more, because he's still sort of doesn't seem quite himself out there at the moment. If they can get these things to click just in the right places, I think they've got some serious potential. So as to what, I don't know. I don't want to say at this early stage of week two, oh, they're Super Bowl bound. It's a little bit far-fetched, really. But I think if we can see the positive steps that they've taken, if we can see them continue to take these, if we can see the positivity that we saw from game one to game two, then I think we've got some really good standing.
Absolutely. And I think you make some very, very good points. First of all, I'm glad you made the point about Gunnar Wrocławski. Yes, folks, it was all about the meme. I was dying to be able to use that GIF file on Twitter, and I did get a chance to use it, and I used it properly in detriment to Gunnar this time as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But no, I agree with what you and Deuce had to say on him. There was always a haphazard way in which he sort of lined up and played his game. I think it's just the nature of the way he plays. And it was very good for the Patriots to be able to capitalize on that. Although Steve and I did mention about Jake Bailey just dropping back and hitting Brendan Schouler in stride. He was completely wide open. Something that I think in special teams acumen, I think you're going to see a lot of film watched on that. Cam Atchett said that yesterday when we talked to him in the media, that it's all about getting better and looking at missed opportunities every week. So Patriots definitely, I think that's their biggest thing to work on, for lack of a better term. I wish I could put that more eloquently, folks, but that's their biggest item to work on this week, is capitalizing on missed opportunities, because they did have a few of those on Sunday.
One thing that I wanted to point out, I meant to with the Gunner thing, not to rewind a little bit. The one thing I did notice that was quite good, that was quite positive in regards to him, was after the muff punt, he still was in the game. He was back in the game, because you kind of think, if he'd have been a Patriot still and that had happened, he might have been on Bill's naughty bench or in Bill's doghouse maybe. But I guess as a fan with sort of just mild affection for the ex-Patriot, I was glad to see him kind of recovering and back in the game and still use us, because he's a good NFL player, and we can't take away from that. But Gunner was schooled by schooler.
I like that. Gunner was schooled by Schouler. I like that a lot. I love the alliteration. I love the analogy. Great, great stuff. But one thing you have to give Gunner, whether you want to go at his physical capabilities, whether you want to go after his prowess on the field, all fair game. But one thing you have to say, he is a tough competitor, and mentally tough, especially. Definitely, glad to see him at least, doing, I think, doing a decent job down in Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh fans are going to disagree with that right now after Sunday, but give him a little bit more of a chance, folks. You'll definitely see what we saw in him all those years up here in New England. But getting back to your original point about things and positives to build on, folks, there are a lot. The wide receivers definitely playing well. 11-man personnel seems to complement that downhill running game very well, and the New England Patriots ran it extremely well on Sunday. But one thing they did not do was utilized 12-man personnel. The tight end were not a factor in this game, Claire, and I know you are dying to give your take on this. I know the Countess is displeased. What to do here on Locked On Patriots? We're going to give her the floor to air her grievances in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, folks, as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. And that's where LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and do it for free. How much more can you ask for, folks? You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience, so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to. They help you do it faster, and they help you do it better than anyone in the business. Do you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Patriots fans, the illustrious Claire Clazzy Claire Cooper of Pat's Propaganda and a Claire Perspective of Patriots podcast joins me here today. We kind of cleaned out the drawer of positivity, Miss Principal of Positivity, when it comes to the 17-14 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers by our New England Patriots on Sunday. But, Claire, we do have to get a little displeasure out of our systems, mostly out of yours, because when you look at the stat sheet from Sunday, you see that the wide receivers were well utilized. The running backs had a good game. Next game, I'd say probably about 50-50. Good moments, bad moments. Offensive line, highest marks. You look at the tight endage, and Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, targeted 4 times. Not a piece, folks. That's between the two of them. 0 catches, 0 production yardage. Yikes, Countess. I know this is not sitting well with the Empress of tight endage right now, but not only do we have fun at your expense when it comes to this, you do have a tremendous amount of knowledge when it comes to the position, and I know you keep a sharp eye on their usage. You keep a sharp eye on what this team does well when the tight ends are clicking, and it surprised me that the Patriots were not utilizing these guys more. Some will tell you it's because Henry and Smith are just not capable of getting open, not worth the money they were given. Some will tell you that it's more strategic than that. When you look at the tight endage usage, what went through your mind on Sunday, and why do you think it was so difficult for Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith to get involved in the offense?
I'm going to let you in on a dirty little secret, Mike, because I'm not actually that concerned or that displeased at this point. Because bearing in mind, it's week 2. And, you know, against the Finns, they did sort of have plenty of 12-man personnel. So the thing that you said that resonates with me, the one word that you just said in that was clicking. And Jonnu Smith is an excellent athlete. But it just feels like while he is being used and he is in there, it feels a little bit like it's not quite clicking quite right into the slot with him. And I don't mean the slot as in on the field. I mean, from a literal perspective of a lot clicking sort of thing. just to clarify.
But a good clarification, though, I will say that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I just wanted to make sure. I think we know he's a good athlete. You know, we're all talking about what happened in Tennessee kind of thing. And we just haven't quite seen it here yet. And as to why is still a little bit in the grey area, sort of what's happening. In regard to the utilization of Hunter, Mac, it was a poor throw. It wasn't a good read by Mac. It was a bad throw and Hunter wasn't in his place kind of in timing. So I may be biased, but I kind of really put the onus on Mac more than I do on Hunter. And I just think that whilst the offensive coaching is, it's moving along, it's developing, it's growing, it's finding its feet, it's finding the plays that sort of like work for the Patriots now, because everything is so different when it comes to offense now, mainly because of the difference in coaching and play calling that we've got. I'm not concerned at this stage because I just think it feels like teething problems. It just feels like they need to get the right balance of utilizing the tight ends and utilizing the wide receivers. Now, as you mentioned, there was plenty of wide receiver usage, and I think that is going to have a knock-on effect of the lack of usage of tight ends, because you can't target all the guys all the time. So you're going to see numbers go up and down. And I think at the moment, it feels like it's key to get the wide receivers sort of there and really sort of performing. And, you know, the trust that Mac's got with the wide receivers, he's sort of building up now. I mean, we saw it, Aguilar was in the team last year and we didn't really see a lot from him because he was being used a lot to draw coverage. And now he's getting the chance to sort of like be out on his own stage, if you like, to bring in the numbers. And I think that's significant. And whilst you're doing that, you can't target Nelson Aguilar and target Hunter Henry at the same time, and pass it off to Jonnu Smith, you know, for an excellent run, that kind of thing, or the yards after the catch that he's good at gaining. You can only do so much at once. So I think it's a case of being a little bit patient. Yeah, it was unfortunate they didn't really use them. It was a little bit, it's a bit of a shame for somebody who's a tight end enthusiast like me that we didn't see a lot of Hunter Henry play. You know, there was one ball and it wasn't very good and didn't really see him again. And I think I mentioned, it may have been last week when we talked, One of the sort of keys that I believe the lack of utilization of the tight ends a little bit more is because of the weakness. Oh, I say weakness very, I use that word very dubiously, but the weakness in the offensive line, or the uncertainty at the, you know, of the offensive line, the concerns that there are with the offensive line, because that's not fully sort of stable. They're having to fall upon the tight ends to maintain more blocking. And if you're having to use a guy to block, you can't have him in the end zone. You can't have him out in space. You can't have him having, you know, getting yards after the catch, because the poor guy's trying to make sure that that Matt Canary out in the first place. And whilst he's going to have like the likes of Jacoby Myers flying through the air for the ball, or the likes of, you know, Nelson Agholor flying through the air. I did like that. They both flew very well. Yeah, we've got very flighty wide receivers. Very good. But yes, you can't have it all. And at the moment, it's week two. So yeah, as much as I guess as a tight end enthusiast, I'd want to be concerned right now. I didn't sort of enjoy witnessing the lack of usage of tight ends in the game, but I'm also not concerned because it feels early. I think that if you came back to me in sort of another five games and we're still seeing this lowness of usage of the tight ends, we're still seeing them having to block all the time, we're not seeing Johnny, you know, get out there to get his yards after the catch, that sort of thing, yeah, then I'm going to have concerns that it's not properly working. Something isn't working correctly, and it really needs to be addressed. Right now, week two, it feels like they're swapping pieces in and out until they click and finally get exactly what they want. So, yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. First of all, the thing that I agree with you most on is the fact that it is week two. And that's something that really has to be said more than anything else. This is very early in the process. We're not seeing anything that's indicative of the way the Patriots are going to do business every game from now until January. You know, hopefully, maybe they're playing a little bit beyond that, but you know, we'll keep
Fingers crossed.
the we'll keep the faith at this point, Claire. We'll
Yes,
say
we will.
early January right now because that's when they're scheduled. And you know, bottom line, I agree with you, first of all, and I do agree with you on Hunter Henry. I think that ball was more on Mac than it was on Hunter. That ball needs to go to the outside. He threw it on the in. To be honest with you, Mac is lucky that the Pittsburgh defender, who name escapes me right now, I don't know if it was Fitzpatrick or what, but he was in position to be able to pick that off. I mean, that could have really been a disastrous, turn of events for the Patriots in that regard. I thought Hunter ran the route correctly. I thought he was in good position. And if he puts his arms out and is outstretched, he makes that reception. All of a sudden, maybe that kickstarts the use of Hunter Henry in the offense. And I think you will continue to see that. We saw enough production out of Hunter last year to know this is not indicative of who he is. He's much more capable of providing some really, really good plays down the field. And I, for one, am definitely looking forward to seeing him more ingratiated as well.
That's why I'm not concerned at this point. As you said, week two, Hunter brought it so much last year, and we saw enough from him and the good chemistry with him and Mac last year, that's why right now I'm not concerned, because we know it exists. We know that that is there. We just need to get it all moving to give it chance to be utilized.
Exactly. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, that was his most reliable receiver last year. I definitely say that Hunter Henry was Mac's most reliable pass catcher. Maybe Kendrick Bourne was the most explosive of the pass catchers last year, but Hunter Henry was his most reliable. He and Jacoby Myers really were the two forces that really allowed that offense to stay on the field last year. And little Jordan Humphrey, a lot of people were surprised about him being used in a tight end like production. A lot of people thought that wasn't going to be possible, but he did align at some points during Sunday's game, you know, utilizing those point of attack blocks. They're typically given to a flex tight end. So at that point, him coming in, it does look like the New England Patriots are at least going to kick the tires on maybe utilizing him in a third package if they do want to go that route. But bottom line, the production between Hunter and between Janu definitely needs to increase. I think you will see that. And I think as the game plan allows it, I think that's when you'll see it, because that to me is also one of the big points here, is that the Patriots went wide receiver, and Claire, you articulated this perfectly. They went with wide receiver because it was working for the game plan. And that 11-man personnel complements a downhill running game much better than a 12-man personnel because you're able to get guys out, utilize the field, utilize the perimeter, and hit guys like Aguilar and Myers, who were really great in this game. I'd like to see Kendrick Bourne mixed in a little bit as well. And folks, don't forget about Devontae Parker. I'm hearing the name of N'Keal Harry invoked in my sleep. And that is not the case. Devontae will be a better factor on this team and in this offense. So just give it a little bit of time, and I assure you, you'll be happy with the results. Claire, it's always, always a pleasure, always an honor to talk tight endage with you here on Locked On Patriots. But folks, we're not quite done yet, because as we take our leave of the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's time to welcome the Baltimore Ravens to Foxborough. And Claire's going to give her initial thoughts on what that matchup may look like and exactly what we can expect on the field when these two teams lock horns on Sunday in week 3. But first, I want to talk to you folks a little bit about our good friends at betonline.net, your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts. BetLine is also your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf, is with our good friends at betonline.net. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Pats fans, we are nearly ready to wrap things up here on the Locked On Patriots podcast, joined as always on Wednesdays by the illustrious Claire Clazzy, Claire Cooper of Pats Propaganda and a Claire Perspective of Patriots podcast. Claire, we talked a little bit about some lingering positive thoughts on the Pats Steelers. We talked your favorite subject, tight endage, for the second straight week. And you brought the wisdom and counsel away only you can. That wisdom and counsel meter broke off a long time ago, especially with the tight endage knowledge. But we know that the last game is only as good as your next game. And the era of good feelings is about to be wiped clean. Starting today on Wednesday, the Patriots hit the practice fields to prepare for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson and a high-flying offense and a stout defense. John Harbaugh coaching, you know, the Ravens, every single time they come into Foxborough, you know it's always going to be a tightly contested game. Emotions are going to be running high. These two teams just don't like one another. And this is going to be, I think, a fun one in Foxborough on Sunday. But Ravens are coming into this game with a little extra chip on their shoulder after blowing such a big lead to Miami. Your initial thoughts on the Ravens this weekend and what the Patriots need to do in order to not only remain competitive, but maybe pull out the win here?
I think that's the thing that concerns me, again, keyword, is they're coming off that loss. I mean, that game against the Finns was quite a high-scoring game. It was quite a bit of a battle back and forth. So the fact that they're having to roll into Gillette after a loss to, you know, it is a little bit of a concern, the extra chip on their shoulder. And I mean, they're a good team. They don't need that extra chip. So, yeah.
It's true.
I mean, they've got a good O-line. The question is, can the Patriots contain that movable quarterback? That's a question. Not a concern as such, a question. Can they do it? Because I think we've got quite a good defense now. And I mean, Dietrich's wise, we've already said this. I'm like, I'm really shocked. I'm like, this guy's owned up and shown up. I'm waiting for this. This is very exciting now, actually. Now I think about it, I'm quite excited to see that D-line get after that quarterback. Oh, this is going to be some fun. Some body slamming when, and Gronk isn't even around and we're still going to get it. Inside joke with the Travis Kelce thing. If you don't know, you have to go and check on Twitter. It's everywhere. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, the one thing I did notice is the Ravens defense seemed to run out of steam in the fourth quarter. And I think it's going to be a case of, shall we say, football smarts. Can the Patriots capitalize on those little weaknesses that they generally are a really good team are going to show? So I think that's going to be a sort of a key for success, is capitalizing on those little small weaknesses and chipping away at those little weaknesses that they have got there or that maybe come to light there. So One point is Jake Bailey needs to be very careful when he does any punting because, you know, that Duvernay with his 103-yard return for a touchdown, oof, rather good. So we don't want any of that, insert rude word there, happening. We don't want any of that going on. We want that nipped in the bud completely. So we're definitely going to need these, you know, special teams to step it up. We're going to need the whole team to, you know, as we said, Baltimore is a good team. So they're going to need to bring some A game back to Gillette. So, but I think I'm quite confident that they can. I'm hoping it's an easy win. Obviously, how can we not? So yeah, contain that quarterback and capitalize on the sort of the defense running out of steam. I think if you just use your football smarts, and the one thing the Patriots are known for, granted some of the coaching staff that are known for it have since left, but I still think it's a Patriots way, is football smarts. And that's something that I think they're really going to sort of want to fall back on to bring success back to Gillette and beat the Ravens.
Absolutely agreed. And I think containing Lamar Jackson is going to be a tough matchup. There's no question about it. I mean, this is one of the most mobile and most versatile quarterbacks in the league. And I don't think Lamar gets enough credit for the arm that he has. A lot of people will always point to his ability to run, to be able to extend plays with his legs, create plays with his legs. Lamar's an explosive athlete, one of the best athletes I've seen at the position since I've been covering football. But at the same time, he's also a traditional pocket quarterback that can do the job if he needs to. That's not his strong suit, but it's something that he can do and do very well if he's cornered into doing it. So it's kind of a pick your poison with the New England Patriots. I think Christian Barmore is going to play a very key part in this game because if Barmore is able to, I don't want to say marginally disrupt, but occupy, I guess is the best way to put it, at least a couple of those offensive linemen from the Baltimore Ravens, it may free up someone like a Matthew Judon or maybe free up someone like an Anthony Jennings to pin his ear back and try to get after the quarterback. You're going to need your speediest guys to try to pursue Lamar Jackson. I don't expect a lot of blitzing. You saw Miami blitz heavily against Lamar Jackson, and they paid the price for it in the second half. So I think the Patriots will take more of a temperate approach, protect the middle of the field with the linebackers. That means Mack Wilson. That also means Juwan Bentley has to be healthy as well. If he's not, that could be a huge hole for the Patriots this week.
But what you've just said, kind of, that has sort of boosted my confidence in it. So you've got Christian Barmore, Dietrich Wise, and then you've got Matthew Judon steamrolling after Lamar Jackson. I mean, come on, those names, you've got to get excited about that.
Absolutely. And you should. Don't forget, Matthew Judon played in Baltimore for a number of years. He's got a little chip residing on that shoulder right now. And there's
Oh,
definitely
bring it.
something, yeah, there's definitely something to be said there. So Matthew Judon's going to be looking to ball out this week. I'm glad you mentioned Dietrich Wise because definitely someone that I have an affinity for. And folks, if you haven't checked out yesterday's pod with Steve, check that out. You'll find out why Dietrich Wise is someone who's very near and dear to my heart. Claire knows the story, but in any case, he is someone that can definitely get after the quarterback as well and does show the ability to be able to put pressure. And he's been phenomenal on that defensive line. And if those guys can get into position and play their game, it makes the job of the secondary that much easier. All of a sudden, Jalen Mills and Jonathan Jones can use their speed and versatility to control the perimeter. And then you have the defensive backfield being manned by maybe a three-hole, maybe all four of them. Hopefully, Kyle Duggar will be okay. We'll know more when he hits the practice field on Wednesday what his status is going to be. But if you've got Duggar, Peppers, Phillips, and then, of course, the team captain, Devin McCourty, back there, it gives you the opportunity. So I think this game for the Patriots is going to be one on the defensive side of the ball. If they can do it, going to be a tall task, folks. But you've heard the wisdom and counsel of the Countess of Klaz herself. And again, folks, she does not disappoint, never has, never will. One of our favorite guests here on Locked On Patriots. And it's always my honor and privilege to share the microphone with you each and every Wednesday. Before I let you go, Miss Empress of Tight Endage, please let everyone know where they can find you, your great work, what you have coming up on the horizon for the week of coverage for Pats Ravens coming up.
Well, as always, you can find me on Twitter at Clousy Claire, so that's pretty normal. You'll get me on my game recap at patspropaganda.com. So obviously that's not till after the game, but yeah, each week I'll hit you with a game recap at patspropaganda.com. So if you haven't already checked out the Steelers one and you want a good laugh when you're having a cup of coffee, go over to patspropaganda.com and check out my Steelers game recap. But yeah, so that'll hit the live hit the web after the Ravens game, and hopefully my latest episode of A Clear Perspective will be dropping potentially this week. Fingers crossed. But yeah, I try and get to you each week when it comes to the in season, but it's still a bit tricky because obviously guests are very busy. So yeah, just keep an eye out for the podcast for that. So yeah, but I'm around. Check Twitter. You know, I'm here, there, and everywhere. One Patriots Place each and every week is there for you at etgsports.com. So you know, if you want to listen to this, I don't know why, but if you do, then you'll find me here, there, and everywhere. And I'll be back here next week on Locked On Patriots to talk about the success of the Patriots over the Ravens at Gillette.
Folks, it's all clear all the time, and it's all good in Patriots Nation if that is the case. Now, seriously, when she puts pen to paper, voice to microphone, check it out, appointment listening, appointment reading. They don't call her Monday morning recaps the best reads in the business, folks, the best Monday morning read in the business as far as I'm concerned. So always check that out each and every Monday or the day following game day. It's not always a Monday morning read, but after the game, that's definitely something that you want to check out. Countess, it's always my honor, again, my privilege to share the microphone with you. We look forward to doing it again on Wednesday. But in the meantime, folks, please stay tuned here on Locked On Patriots as we shift our focus 100% to the Baltimore Ravens, starting with tomorrow's episode, Locked On Crossover Thursday. Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens will join me here on the hot seat as we talk all things Patriots-Baltimore heading into Sunday's matchup. And of course, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for making Locked On Patriots your first listen every day. And now that you've made us your first listen, make your second listen the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. Just like Locked On Patriots, folks, it's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. On behalf of the esteemed Countess of Class herself, Miss Claire Classy Claire Cooper, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe, stay well, be the change that you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.